You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. This is a reading of the Bamford translation, the newest one, of the book by Rudolf Steiner entitled How to Know Higher Worlds, A Modern Path of Initiation. This is Chapter 10, The Guardian of the Threshold. Paragraph 1. Among the most important experiences in the ascent to higher worlds are the encounters with the so-called guardian of the threshold. Actually, there are two such beings, not one. They are known as the lesser and the greater guardians. We meet the first when the connection between willing, thinking, and feeling in the finer astral and ether bodies begins to loosen. This was described in the previous chapter. The second, greater guardian, is encountered when the separation of these three forces also affects the physical body, particularly the brain. Paragraph 2. The lesser guardian of the threshold is an independent being who does not exist for us until we have reached the appropriate level of inner development. Within the framework of this book, therefore, only a brief description of this guardian's essential characteristics may be given. Paragraph 3. First, an attempt will be made to give a narrative description of the meeting with this guardian. It is only through this meeting, in fact, that we become aware that the implanted connection between thinking and feeling and willing has been undone. Paragraph 4. A thoroughly horrid, ghostly being stands before us. Hence, we shall need full presence of mind and complete confidence in the safety and reliability of our cognitive path, which we have had ample opportunity to acquire in the course of our training, for this encounter. Paragraph 5. The guardian, then, reveals the meaning of this moment in words, somewhat as follows. Up to now, unseen by you, mighty powers presided over you. Through all the previous courses of your lives, they brought it about that every good deed was followed by its reward, and every evil action was followed by its grievous consequences. Through their influence, your character was formed out of your life experiences and thoughts. They were the agents of your destiny. They determined, on the basis of your conduct in previous lives, the measure of joy and pain allotted to you in each of your incarnations. They ruled over you in the form of the all-embracing law of karma. These powers will now begin to loosen the reins by which they guide you. Now, you yourself must do some of the work they did for you before. Up to now, you endured many heavy blows of fate. You did not know why. Each was the consequence of a damaging deed done in a previous life. You found joy and happiness, and took these as you found them. These too were the result of earlier actions. You have many beautiful sides to your character, and many ugly flaws. You yourself produced these through your past experiences and thoughts. Up to now, you were unaware of this. Only the effects were known to you. But the karmic powers witnessed all your former actions, and even your most secret thoughts and feelings. And on that basis they determined who you are now, and how you live in your present incarnation. Paragraph 6 continuing. Now, however, all the good and bad aspects of your past lives are to be revealed to you. You will see them for yourself. They have been interwoven with your being all along. They were in you, and you could not see them, just as you cannot see your brain with your eyes. Now, however, your past actions are separating themselves from you, stepping out of your personality. They are assuming an independent form, one that you can see, as you can see the stones and plants of the outside world. I am that self-same being, who made a body for itself out of your good and your wicked deeds. My ghostly form is spun, so to speak, from the account book of your life. Up to now, you have carried me invisibly within you. It was for your sake that this was so. It meant that the hidden wisdom of your destiny continued to work within you to eliminate the ugly spots in my appearance. Now that I have come forth from you, this hidden wisdom has also left you and will take care of you no longer. Instead, it puts the work into your own hands. I, myself, if I am not to fall into corruption, must become a perfect and glorious being. For were I to fall, I would drag you down with me into a dark, corrupted world. To prevent this, your own wisdom must be great enough to take over the task previously performed by the hidden wisdom now departed from you. I shall never leave your side once you have crossed my threshold. I shall always be there beside you in a form you can perceive. From then on, whenever you think or act wrongly, you will immediately see your fault as an ugly demonic distortion in my appearance. My being will be changed and become radiantly beautiful only when you have made amends for all your wrongs and have so purified yourself that you become incapable of further evil. Then, too, I shall be able to unite with you again as a single being in order to bless and benefit your further activity. Paragraph 7 continue. My threshold is built of every feeling of fear still within you, and every feeling of reluctance in the face of the strength you need to take on full responsibility for your thoughts and actions. As long as you still harbor any trace of fear directing your own destiny, the threshold lacks an essential element. As long as a single stone is missing, you will remain on this threshold as if spellbound, or stumble. Therefore, do not try to cross this threshold until you are completely free of fear, and feel yourself ready for the highest responsibility. Paragraph 8 continue. Until now, I have left you only when death called you from an earthly life. But even then, my form was veiled from your eyes. Only the powers of destiny, presiding over you, could see me. During the interval between death and rebirth, based on my appearance, they formed in you the forces and faculties to enable you to work to make me beautiful in your next life, and so ensure the well-being of your progress. Thus, it was I and my imperfections that made the powers of destiny send you back to a new earthly incarnation. When you died, I was there. It was for my sake that the rulers of karma decided that you must reincarnate. If, without knowing it, you were to transform and perfect me through life forever renewed in this way, then you could avoid falling into the powers of death. But then you would have become completely one with me, and, united, we would pass into immortality. Paragraph 9, continue. So now I stand visible before you, as I have always stood invisible beside you in the hour of your death. Once you have crossed my threshold, you will enter realms you otherwise entered only after physical death. Now you will enter them in full knowledge. From now on, though living outwardly and visibly upon the earth, you will live at the same time in the realm of death, that is, in the realm of eternal life. Indeed, I am your angel of death, but at the same time, I also bring you never-ending higher life. While still living in the body, you will die through me and experience rebirth into indestructible existence. Paragraph 10, continue. In the realm you are henceforth entering, you will meet beings of a supersensible kind. Bliss will be your share in this realm. Yet I, who am your own creation, must be your first acquaintance in this world. Earlier I lived on your life, but now through you I have awakened to an independent existence of my own and stand before you as the visible standard of your future actions, and perhaps also as a constant reproach. You have been able to create me, and in so doing have taken on the duty of transforming me. Paragraph 11. What is indicated here in narrative form must not be understood only symbolically. It is, on the contrary, in the highest degree an absolutely real experience, which any student pursuing esoteric training to the appropriate level can have. Footnote. As is clear from the above explanations, the guardian of the threshold described here is an astral appearance that reveals itself to our newly awakened higher perception. Spiritual science guides us to this supersensible encounter. To make this guardian physically visible is an act of low magic based on the creation of a cloud of fine substance, a vapor mixture of several substances in a certain proportion. The developed forces of the magician can then give this vapor form and shape and animate it with our still unredeemed karma. However, if we have sufficiently prepared ourselves for higher perception, we no longer need such sense-perceptible props. On the other hand, if we confront our unredeemed karma without adequate preparation, we risk going badly astray. Thus we should not seek this encounter until we are really ready. Bulwer Lytton's novel Zanoni contains a fictional representation of this guardian of the threshold. End of footnote. Paragraph 12. The guardian's function is to warn us not to go any further, unless we feel strong enough to meet the challenges contained in the words addressed to us. Horrid as it may be, the guardian's appearance is, after all, but the consequence of our own past lives. It is only our own character, awakened to an independent life outside of us. This awakening of our character to an independent existence occurs as our thinking, feeling, and willing begin to separate. It is already a deeply meaningful experience to feel for the first time that we have given birth to a spiritual being. The whole purpose of our preparation, our esoteric training, is to enable us to bear the awful sight of this guardian without any trace of fear or aversion. When we meet the guardian, we must feel our strength so grown that we can take upon ourselves the task of the guardian's transformation and enhancement in full knowledge and consciousness. Paragraph 13. As a result of passing the meeting with the guardian of the threshold successfully, our next physical death is a quite different event than before. Dying becomes a conscious experience for us, in which we lay aside our physical body, like a garment that is worn out or so torn that it is no longer usable. In a sense, our physical death will then upset only those close to us, whose outlook and perceptions are still limited to the material world. In their eyes we, in quotes, die, but nothing important changes for us in our surroundings. For before we die, the whole supersensible world that we enter with death is already open to us, and after dying it remains open to us as before. The guardian of the threshold is also connected with something else. Each of us belongs to a family, a people, a race. Our activity in this world depends upon our belonging to such a unit. Even our individual personality is related to it. In fact, our membership in a family, a nation, or a race affects not only our conscious activities, for every family, nation, and race has its own destiny, just as each has its own particular character. As long as our perspective is limited to the material world, however, such realities remain merely general concepts. Materialistically biased thinkers regard with contempt any esoteric scientist who attributes family or national characteristics and lineal or racial destinies to beings whom they consider just as real as the individuality to whom they attribute personality and destiny. Yet such esoteric scientists have come to know worlds of which our individual personalities are parts, just as our arms, legs, and head are parts of our body. The life of families, nations, and races is affected thus not only by the individuals who belong to them, but also by, in quotes, family souls, nation souls, and race spirits. These are real beings. In a sense, as individuals, we are only the instruments, the executive organs, so to speak, of these family souls and race spirits. Indeed, we may say, for example, that the soul of a nation or people makes use of the individuals who belong to it to accomplish certain tasks. This folk soul does not descend to the sense-perceptible world. It remains in the higher realms. To work in the physical world, the folk soul of a nation makes use of individual human beings as physical organs. This process is analogous on a higher level to a civil engineer in the material world making use of construction workers to execute the details of a project. In the truest sense, we each receive our allotted human task from our family, nation, or race soul. As long as our experience is limited to the sense-perceptible world, we are not initiated into the higher purpose of which this task is a part, but work unconsciously toward the goals of our group souls. As soon as we encounter the guardian of the threshold, however, we not only know our own personal tasks, but also have to work consciously to help accomplish those of our people and our race. Thus, each expansion of our horizon also extends the sphere of our responsibility. The actual process underlying this revelation at the threshold is the adding of a new body to our subtler body. This is much like putting on a new garment. Previously, we moved through the world clothed only in the sheaths that envelop our personality. Higher spirits, making use of our personality, oversaw what we had to do for our community, our nation, and our race. Now, however, the guardian of the threshold reveals to us that these spirits will no longer take care of us. From now on, they withdraw their guiding hands. We must therefore leave behind all belonging to communities. Yet, as isolated individuals, we would wholly harden within ourselves and fall into ruin if we did not acquire the powers inherent in the spirits of our race and nation. While many people certainly believe they have freed themselves fully from all tribal and racial connections and are simply human and nothing else, we have to wonder what made this freedom possible for them. After all, were they not given their place in the world by their family? And have not their lineage, nation, and race made them what they are? Their lineage, nation, and race have taught and educated them. They owe their ability to transcend tribal and racial prejudices to this education. Lineage, nation, and race have enabled them to become the light bearers and benefactors of their tribe or even their race. Thus, even though these people claim to be no more than simply human, they owe the ability to make such claims to the spirits of their communities. In fact, only when we follow the path to inner knowledge will we experience what it really means to have left behind all tribal, national, and racial connections and to be abandoned by the spirits of nation, tribe, and race. Indeed, it is on the esoteric path that we first experience for ourselves the meaninglessness of the education for the life we are now entering that all these connections have given us. For as soon as the threads joining willing, thinking, and feeling begin to snap, all that has been instilled in us completely dissolves. We then look back upon the results of our previous upbringing as if we were watching our house crumble into individual bricks that we must then rebuild in a new form. It is much more than a mere figure of speech when we are told that after the guardian begins to speak, a whirlwind arises from the place where the guardian stands, extinguishing all the spiritual lights that illuminated our life up to now. Utter darkness then surrounds us, broken only by the radiance streaming from the guardian. Out of this darkness we hear the guardian exhorting us, "Do not cross my threshold until you fully understand that you yourself have to illuminate the darkness before you. Do not take a single step forward until you are absolutely sure that you have enough fuel in your own lamp, because the lamps of those who have guided you up to now will no longer be there in the future." Following these words, we must turn and cast our gaze behind us. The guardian of the threshold now pulls aside the curtain that hitherto veiled life's deep mysteries from us. Now the tribe, spirits of tribe, nation, and race are revealed in their full reality. We see clearly how we have been guided in the past, and that now this guidance is no more. This is the second warning we receive at the threshold from its guardian. Paragraph 14. No one could bear the sight described here without preparation. The higher training that enables us to reach the threshold helps us at the same time to find the necessary strength when we need it. In fact, our training can proceed so harmoniously that when we enter this new life, we do so without drama or tumult. Our experiences at the threshold are then accompanied by a premonition of that bliss which will be the keynote of our newly awakened life. The sensation of our new freedom outweighs all other feelings. And in the light of this sensation, our new duties and responsibilities seem natural and inevitable at our given stage of life. The end of chapter 10.